God is good, amen. Welcome to Christ Community Church. My name is Michael Rodriguez, the lead pastor here. And I hope you felt welcome, right? We're a new church. We've been here for about a year and a half. Most of you guys know that. And so we don't take ourselves that seriously. We take Jesus very seriously, but not ourselves, right? We're a very casual church. And so we hope you felt welcome. But we're excited today. So you got my brother Joe. He's going to get baptized today. Amen. Yeah, praise God. So you got some love in the room, Joey. Amen. I like that. You know, it's exciting. Joey is a man of a lot of words. I don't know if you guys know that. Like, whenever I'm around him, like, I can't get him to be quiet. I'm like, Joey, can I get a word in? Come on, brother. No, you guys know Joey is a man of little words, right? But he has a huge heart. And, you know, we've met, and he was one of our consistent setup and teardown guys. And so, listen, Joey, thank you for what you've meant to the C3 family, and we're excited to hear what God is doing in your life, and we're excited that you're taking this next step of faith, right, in your journey with Jesus. Amen. So let's give him a round of applause again, let's get him pumped up a little bit, because what we want to do is we're going to give him the opportunity to share a little bit. And he told me that, I mean, actually, I talked to him outside, and he's like, Pastor, I know you have a message, but I'm going to go for about an hour right now. Because I got a lot on my chest that Jesus has been working in my heart. So he didn't say that. He said, you guys, sorry, brother. I know, it's like I can't help myself. It's the coffee. But Joey's going to share a little bit of his testimony and encouragement. And then what we're going to do is say, listen, we're still old school. We're still small enough that I'm going to invite you guys to come on. We're going to put hands on him. We're going to pray over him. Amen. Because you know what happens when you take a step of faith? There's somebody who doesn't like that, right? And he's the enemy. You guys know who I'm talking about. Anybody who has ever gotten baptized or taken a step of faith, you know that immediately is like, what? It just happened, right? It feels like you have the storms of life will start to come in even harder. But Joey, number one, you have Jesus. Number two, you have your church family. Number two, you have people who love you, right? So you're never on this journey alone. So I'm going to invite Joey now to go ahead and share his testimony.
Hello, my name is Jose. Many may know me as Joey too. I'm known as the quiet one. Talking is just overrated. I don't have much to say, but when I do, I make it count. My life before Christ was full of ignorance, being selfish, and taking what I wanted no matter the cost. Living this way never filled the void I had in my heart. I was missing something in life. I was missing God. I had a life-changing experience where I felt I didn't deserve God's mercy and forgiveness. In my eyes, I was a disappointment to God. After many invites from my brother Stephen, I finally said yes to going to church. At this point, it was a constant battle with the enemy. As my praise and worship grew stronger, my enemy grew tired and weak. I was starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel. I know I'm never going to be perfect, but I give God all my praise and love. Because he's pruned me like a tree, molded me into the man I am today. Still quiet, but wiser, stronger, and thankful to call myself a Christian. Amen. Nothing in this life is worth living for unless you have Christ Jesus as your foundation. If you ever feel stuck in crossroads in life, pray about it. God takes care of his people. He took care of me on my walk and continues to do so. I've talked long enough. I'm going to end with my favorite Bible verse. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ. Thank you.
Listen, I'm going to have you guys come on up, right? We're still a small church. We can still do this. This is one of the nice things about having a small church. We're going to have, I want you to come over here. Everybody come on up. And we're going to be, Joey's in the middle, right? And here's what we're going to do. We're just going to pray for our brother. Amen. We're going to pray for him because, you know, like I said, man, whenever you take a step of faith forward, the enemy wants nothing more than to just devour you, right? The enemy is what? Like a lion, looking to see how he roams and how he will devour us. Amen. But in Jesus Christ, we have victory. And in the blood of Christ, we're already covered. And here's the other thing. Brother Joey, I want you to look around. Before we start praying, right? Look at all the people that are here to support you. You're not alone on this thing. That is the number one tactic that the enemy will use to say, like, oh, you're alone, you're defeated, I got you. No, there's people who love you, who care about you, brothers and sisters, that will stand in the gap for you when you're feeling too tired. Life is that way, right? We all have our Moses moments where our arms are too tired and somebody has to come alongside to lift our arms for us so we can win the battle, amen? So let's pray. Father God, we come before you in the name of your Son, Jesus, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for your grace, your mercy, and your goodness, Lord. And I'm so thankful for what you're doing in the life of my brother Joey this morning, Lord God. He's professing, Lord God, to take that next step of faith, Lord God, with you, Lord Jesus. That he wants to continue to deepen his faith and his journey and his walk with you by saying, yes, I want to get baptized. And it's an outward expression of what you're doing in his heart, Lord Jesus. So I pray, Lord God, that you continue to draw him near to you, Lord God. I pray that you give him a desire to have a heart that longs for you, that wants to continue to seek you out in all things, Lord Jesus. Continue to bless his life, Lord God. Continue to surround him with brothers and sisters that love him, encourage him on his walk and his journey. And Lord God, we're excited about what you're going to do in his life, Lord God. He is a man of little words, Lord God, but when he does talk, Lord, he has things to say, Lord Jesus. And Lord, will you continue to use him, Lord God, to advance the ministry that you've called him into, Lord Jesus. Thank you again for your grace and your mercy, Lord God. And we continue to ask for protection, for guidance, for strength, Lord God. And Lord, we right now pray all of us, Lord, in unity and all of us, Lord God, in agreement, Lord, against any attacks of the enemy against him, Lord Jesus. Lord, he's taken a step of faith and we know, Lord God, the enemy would want nothing more, Lord, than to derail the plans that you have for his life. But Lord Jesus, the plans that you have for our brother Joey are good, Lord God. Plans to prosper him, Lord God. Plans not to harm. Plans to give him an amazing hope and a future, Lord God, in you, Lord Jesus. Continue to guide him, bless him. And thank you, Lord God, for your grace and your goodness on his life, Lord. We love you. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 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 Praise God. Good job, Joey. Okay, we can just close already. We can just go baptize and then go. But afterwards, we're going to be... So please make sure that you join us for the actual baptism portion, okay? We're going to be... at 2502 Annadale, it's over by Sanger High, right? So you guys want to jump in the car with me so I can show you how to get there? Metaphorically, right? All right. You guys know where Walmart is? You guys all know where Walmart is. Or if you say it in Spanish, Walmart. Okay. No? Yeah, come on. That's why my mom says it. Praise God. So you're at Walmart. Yes. You're driving out. You're on Bethel, you're turning right. You're driving, you go to the second light, see, I didn't tell you. And then you turn left on Annandale. And then you're going to go right on the corner. You're going to see us, right? You're going to see a tall, handsome, bald guy and a beautiful gal with curly hair. That's where they live. And so we're going to have a great time. We're going to do the water baptism there. And then we also have some food, right? Fellowship. Before we planted the church, I weighed 145 pounds. Look at me now. A solid 228, Joey. We eat a lot here. We like to break bread, amen? You know, we always say, I had a pastor visit me. He's a Spanish pastor at the Vineyard. And he says, you know what? He says, it's cool that we have a big church. He says, but the small church lives better. the fellowship is better in the small church. So you know what? We've got to prove that right. Amen? All right. So please make sure you show up to the water baptism portion. And then we're going to break bread and hang out and have a good time. Amen? All right. This time we're going to dismiss the kids. How many kids? So all the kids are going to go over there to Adriana and Jenny. And they're going to teach you all about Jesus and his triumphant entry. And it's going to be awesome. Did you bring the NyQuil today, sister? Did you bring the NyQuil to kind of calm them down a little bit today? Okay, no NyQuil today. Next week, she's being a rock star. Okay, so let's pray. Father God, thank you for your goodness, for your grace, for your mercy. Lord, we already feel your presence, Lord God. You are so good to us, Lord. Father God, right now, Lord, we lift up our children, the true gift that they are from you, Lord God, and I pray that you would be with them this time, Lord. I pray that as we plant seeds of faith, Lord God, you bless them, protect them, guide them. And thank you again, Lord, for the opportunity and the blessing it is, Lord, to have young ones in our church, Lord. We love you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. All right. I'm kidding. We don't give them NyQuil. No, God is good. Well, welcome again to Christ Community Church. We're in week number 7 of our series, right? And it's Palm Sunday, amen? I grew up in a Catholic church. Palm Sunday was my favorite Sunday, right? Not because I enjoy going to church. I hated it. My mom would force us to go. But it was the one Sunday where they would give you the little palms, right? And then you would get to make a little cross, right? That was my favorite thing. I had no idea. I really didn't, you know. Again, I was not a good Catholic, okay? You guys have heard me say this time and time again. But I love Palm Sunday because I used to love to make the little crosses, right? And so today we are going to be reading about Palm Sunday and what it means and how Jesus entered, right? The triumphant entry into Jerusalem. And what it means as we kick off Holy Week, right? So, but you guys are probably wondering what this stuff is over here. I'm going to talk about that in a little bit. My wife is like, are you going to make like a fruit salad or something? And I was like, no, but you guys will see. But today we're going to be spending some time in the book of Matthew. We're going to be reading Matthew 21 verses 1 through 11. Because, right, like I said, it's the beginning of Holy Week. And it's also the final week of Jesus' earthly ministry. If you think about it, before he obviously was resurrected, and we spent some more time about as he made different appearances before he ascended into heaven. But this is one of the biggest weeks in terms of what we study, right? If you look at the Gospels themselves, this last week of Jesus' life is 1/3 of Matthew, and it's half of the book of John. Because there's so much that happens in this week, and it's very critical and important. And so the title of today's message is called The Courageous King. The Courageous King. And so this is the week, right, if you looked at it from the worldly perspectives, now that knowing what you know now, it was a week where there was a lot of emotion, and people were very happy about Jesus coming. But we have the privilege of being able to read the Gospels. And we see actually what happens to Jesus and the pain that he endures from being arrested to the mock trial to being slapped and insulted and scourged and humiliated and ultimately dying an awful death on the cross. And by all means, if you had been present at that time, you would have said that Jesus was having, right, the worst week ever, if we're honest, right? Because of what he endured. And the disciples themselves, can you imagine what they were going through? Thinking that they were entering Jerusalem to have victory, right? The dream had, they were always learning about how, or you know, they knew that Jesus was coming to redeem the people of Israel, but they thought he was coming to give them a political victory, right? That he was going to throw out the Romans and that they were going to be installed as a new government. And it's funny, we just studied this with the men on Friday about how even James and John wanted to have these seated at the right and the left hand of Jesus when he came into his glory into Jerusalem. You guys remember that? But what happened was the opposite. The exact opposite. In fact, what you're going to notice, right, and the reason why this is titled The Courageous King is that there's a lot of things that Jesus was subject to as he came in. Now over here, right, these are, it's a tangerine, right? A This is a banana, and this is a lemon. Now, oftentimes, and you guys have heard me say this, I use this analogy a lot with a coffee analogy, right? When you're in the office and somebody bumps you and they're like, what spills out of your cup, right? Well, if you had coffee or soda, right? But for Jesus himself, like this is to say that this fruit represents your life, right? This is all of us. Maybe you're not a tangerine. Maybe you're more a ripe banana, right? Maybe some of you guys are lemons, because you guys are, no? Somebody's, some of you have a little, listen, not everybody's like all bubbly on these. Some of you are a little, you know, yes or no? You know people like that. Some of you are like, put some lemon on that or put some tahini on it, you know? But this is our life. And we go around in our life and we can say, oh, I'm doing good, I'm fine. How are you doing, right? I'm doing good. But then life comes in and does something to us. What does life do, usually? Are we guarded and protected always? No, sometimes the fruit, what? Sometimes it falls, right? Sometimes it gets beat up by life, right? Doesn't it feel like that? Doesn't it feel like sometimes you just wake up and you can't catch a break? You're just like, what the heck is going on, right? Problems after problems, bills and bills, right? And on the outside, how does it look? It doesn't look bruised to me, not yet. How does it look? It looks fine, huh? It looks fine. How many of us are walking around in our life, right? Like, I'm fine. On the outside, I'm okay. I'm living the life that, I'm living my best life. Right? Outward appearances, I'm doing all right, right? Maybe you're going along, and maybe you have a good relationship. Maybe you got a good job. Maybe you did the whole thing, right? But outward appearances, you're looking all right. But what has life done to you that people don't see? Life keeps doing this, right? And it doesn't stop. Let me tell you. You know why? Because what did Jesus tell us? John 16:33. In this life, you will have trouble. But do not fear, because I have overcome the world. Right? And so this is our life, guys. A little bit of getting beat up, but on the outside it looks fine. But then something else happens. Right? I have a knife. Because there's things that happen in your life that people can't see on the inside, but you know that you've endured them and you suffered them, right? And those are what I call, where are you going, Jesus? My son, Ethan. He's like, I had enough of this mess. I'm leaving. Sorry, it's my son. I'm tired of listening to dad. But what happens in life, let me continue. I lost my train of thought. Is this knife represents a different thing. This knife represents the soul wounds of living. Do you know what a soul wound is? It's those absolutely things, the things that change the trajectory of your life, right? The things that absolutely rock your core and your being. Like when you get betrayed. Like when you have a failed marriage. Like when you get a diagnosis that you weren't expecting. Like when somebody dies unexpectedly. Like when the person that you depended on the most, who was supposed to be there for you, lets you down and breaks your heart. Everybody in here, maybe save the little ones, you should know what I'm talking about. And that's when these things happen. Right? The diagnosis you're expecting, the betrayal, the broken heart. Right? And I haven't even said it, but what about the sin that you commit? Right? What about people that have sinned against you? Right? What about the sins that we're guilty of? And then, the pressures of life. And what does the pressures of life do? It starts to what? It starts to squeeze, right? Do you see it? Do you see it now? What's happening? My fruit's not perfect anymore. It was fine before. I could beat it and beat it. But look at now. As I apply the pressure of life, what starts to come out? Whatever's inside, right? The juice. And life keeps squeezing, right? Now I'll tell you this. When you're walking with Jesus, life doesn't stop. Let me just tell you this, right? You give your life to Jesus, it doesn't mean that life is perfect, right? But if Jesus isn't living on the inside, you know what's coming out? As life, after you've gone through the soul wounds of life, and as the pressure of life keeps squeezing, what's coming out? Does anybody know? As much as you try, right, to put your life together and to make it whole and to have a semblance of what it is, listen, you can't hear yourself, man. Let me just tell you that. As much as you can, this is what ends up happening with our life. But what we're celebrating today is Palm Sunday, because Jesus came to surrender his life, to give his ransom for the salvation of sinners like us. To what? To make us whole. To have a right relationship with him. So that when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we're not left with whatever here, this empty shell, right? This broken part, this heart that is broken, and this flesh and these... Because listen, man, our body is going to fail us, isn't it? And when, it's not just this. Because I'll tell you what. When you trust in Jesus Christ, and we celebrate what Jesus came to do in Holy Week, right? He gives us an amazing gift, and he says what? I will come to reside in you, and I will make you what? When you put your faith in him, you will be born again. And not of the flesh, but of the Spirit. And he comes, then he fills us with his life. He fills us with his life, and he makes us whole again. Right? Now, that's not to say that life is still going to keep trying, right? But now what? Because of what Jesus accomplished this week 2,000 years ago, now when people keep applying pressure, right? What keeps coming out now? Not your hurt and your pain and your heartache and your sorrow, because you're filled with Jesus now. With the Holy Spirit now. And that changes everything, brothers and sisters. And so when we celebrate what Jesus did 2,000 years ago in the triumphant entry, we have the gift of having the Gospels in front of us, right? And recognizing that he had to go through what he went through so that we can know him. Because listen, there's no way that sinners like us could be right with God ever outside of what Jesus did on the cross for us. And that is the truth. And when he gives us an amazing gift that he says, I'm coming to live within you, so that when life keeps squeezing, Jesus starts to flow out, right? And what we're going to learn about is that what happened to Jesus, this is analogy, right? Jesus' outside was, and I'm going to talk about it more on Sunday, and Good Friday, he was beat to a pulp. This body is just this body, guys. God comes to, what, make us whole in the Spirit. And he gives an eternal resting place with him. You heard me say it from the stage. God's blessings extend into this reality that we're in right now. Amen? Because of what he did for us on the cross. And so that's what we're celebrating today, that he came and that he is a courageous king. Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew 21, verses 1 through 11. You guys there? All right. And it says, as they approached Jerusalem and They came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go ahead to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to daughter Zion, see your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went on and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Amen. So we see you guys know, what do we always talk about? After we read the scripture, we always want to talk about the context, right? Because it's important that we always know all the full details. My sister Adriana is not here, but I always tell her, right? If we must gossip, let it be about the gospel. Amen? She knows that it's a running joke that we have. If we must gossip, let it be about the gospel. Amen? Why? Because, not because you guys gossip, but when other people gossip, what do? Want to know all the details. Who was there? What were they wearing? Where did this happen again? Where did they go? What time did they show up? Right? Sound familiar? Not to you guys, because we don't gossip here. Other people gossip. You should still say, "I don't want to hear it. Go talk to somebody else." But if we must gossip, let's gossip about the gospel. Amen? So what's going down? What's the scene here? So Jesus is traveling from Jericho, right, to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. One of the three required, what do they call that? Pilgrimages, right? Where everybody's coming into town. Jesus is traveling probably about 25,000 deep. Can you imagine that? That's a big crowd. That's like rock star status. You think you're cool when you're rolling with like five or six of your friends. We're like, "Oh, we're going to this concert. It's going to be awesome." No? You guys don't have five or six friends? I don't have any five or six. That's true. I can count all my brothers right here. I got my church family. That's about it. And that's all I need. So he's traveling from Jericho to Jerusalem. Now, how far is that? You guys know? It's a good thing. Come on. How many? Pretty close. 15 miles. 15 miles by foot. So they're traveling, right? And they come alongside and they get to a place, right? If you go to the next slide. And they start traveling along to another place where they need a colt and a foal. And that village is actually a village called Bethany. Now, who lives in Bethany? You guys remember this? You should, because somebody preached on it last week. He's over there. You guys know? That's right. That's where Mary, Martha, and Lazarus lived, right? And he tells them that I need a colt and a foal, right? And if anybody asks you why you need it, he says what? Tell them the Lord requires it. Isn't that awesome? Just tell them the Lord requires it. And so that's a little bit of the context and the history. There's a lot of people coming into town. It's a big deal. I'm going to spend some more time on Sunday talking about what it represents. Because Jesus was coming to fulfill, right, something that was going on at that time, which is what? The Passover. And how he ties it into history, because everybody that was there at the time was there to celebrate an event that happened in the Exodus. You guys remember that? And so we're going to spend some more time talking about that next week. Little teaser for you guys to come back. But a couple of the key points that we take from this passage of scripture that we just read. Number one, we see that Jesus has all authority and declares his kingship will be one of peace. That Jesus has all authority and declares his kingship will be one of peace. And we see that in Matthew 21, verse 5. He says, say to daughter Zion, see your king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Amen. Now, Jesus is actually quoting a prophecy, messianic prophecy, that was given to them in Zechariah verse 9 and 10. Now, if you guys reference that he's quoting it word for word, and he's fulfilling the messianic prophecy. Now, do you guys know what the word Messiah means? Anybody? It's a good thing I'm going to tell you guys. That's right. It's the anointed king is what it means. The anointed king. And so Jesus is fulfilling one of the prophecies. But what he's declaring there, right, is that he's coming to give with a sign of peace. See, at the time, if you were riding a horse, that was usually what you rode when you were going out to war, right? You guys ever ridden a horse? Yeah? How was it? I hated it. It's like the worst thing ever. Like, I'm not a warrior. Like, God made me at the right season at the right time. These hands were made for typing, right? I send the best emails, not for riding horses, okay? I'm just being honest with you. Like, I would be a scribe back then, you know? Not riding a horse. The horses don't like me, you know? This is a true story. Can I tell this story? It's an embarrassing story about me. We went to the Philippines one time, and we decided we're going to go horseback riding. It's going to be awesome. And I get on a horse, and he's crazy. Like, he keeps running. We're in the city, and he keeps, like, running into buses and smashing my leg. I was like, hey, this horse is crazy. I get off finally, and he just goes on a full-on tantrum, you know? I think the enemy knew that I was going to plant a church. He said, let me try to get this guy right now before he plants a church. That horse went crazy, seriously, right? And I'm like, that's it. I don't care how far we're walking back. Like, I'm not getting back on that thing. Same trip. We're like, that horse was crazy. It was demon-possessed. I'm going to try another horse. Maybe, like, at the resort, right? Trying to be all romantic. We're like, let's go horseback riding on the beach. Except I can't ride the horse. So it's like, it wasn't that romantic because I had to have a guy, like, between me and Stephanie, like, making sure that I wouldn't, like, kill myself. About halfway through the horse trip ride or whatever, the horse stops. The horse just stops, and he doesn't want to go. And he's like, I'm like, is there something wrong with the horse? And the guy's, like, trying to encourage him. And finally, so let me just tell you what. The horse, this is the Philippines, right? It wasn't like this is how you know when things are kind of, the economy is kind of bad in third world countries. Because even the horses are, like, not very, you know, well-fed. The guy looks at me, he just stopped, and he looks at me, and he's like, sir, horse cannot continue. You're too heavy. You're going to have to get off. So there I go, I get off. And this is why I always say to you, young men, you have to get married, right? Because you need somebody to keep you humble, right? So what does my bride do? She's not like, she's like, oh, yeah, it's okay. She is dying laughing, right? That the guy just said, get off, you're breaking this horse's back. So there I go, and I was like, I'm just going to walk my wife back then on this horse. 20 years later, we're still happily married, right? Amen to that. What does that have to do with this story? Nothing. Absolutely nothing, except that I was not made to ride a horse, right? I was maybe more like Jesus, made to ride a foal, a little donkey. Yeah. But Jesus was coming in not to declare war, guys, but to declare peace. And that's the opposite of what the disciples wanted. What? They wanted to come in and say, let's take over, right? We're about to come in and kick down the door and we run this town, right? And that's not what he came to do. He came, right, with all authority to declare his kingship to be one of peace. And that was signified by riding the donkey. Now, he proclaims himself king, right, because he's tying in to that messianic prophecy that was told to us in Zechariah 9. He says, behold, your king is coming on a foal. And so he's doing both. Now, how do we know, right? The application, when we go through and we actually look at all that Jesus did, right? Isn't it awesome? We have the privilege of having the four Gospels and we get to see what Jesus did. And Jesus had all authority, and he was a king back then, and he still has all authority, and he's the king today. Amen? Because we knew that even if you go back and you look at some of the other gospels, that number one, Jesus had authority over nature, right? I mean, you guys remember when he was in the boat and there was a storm, and what did the I love the disciples. They're like, Jesus, don't you care that we're going to die? You know, you guys remember that? Very dramatic. Jesus was sleeping, but he protected them. He calmed the storms, and you guys remember that? They said, "Who is this that even the storms even the waves obey him?" You guys remember that passage? In John chapter 9:7, which I preached on 2 weeks ago, Jesus heals a man from blindness. In Matthew chapter 8, there's a series of different healings, but we see that he heals a man of leprosy and fevers. So Jesus has authority over nature. You guys see that? And he has authority over physical ailments, right? He's working miracles. He's still doing those today. He has authority even over the demons. You guys remember in Luke chapter 4, as he casts out the demons, and he even had to tell them to be quiet because they're saying, "You are the Son of God." And he rebuked them because he didn't want people to know that he was the Messiah. It wasn't the right time. And in John chapter 11, from last week's message, we see that Jesus has victory even over death. Jesus has all authority. Amen. Now, the one thing that, if you guys remember, if you guys study like some of the New Testament, you know, the early church, their creed, their motto, you guys know, like, was what? Do you guys know? Their creed and their motto, their tagline was, "Jesus is Lord." Isn't that cool? Jesus is Lord. You see somebody on the street, Jesus is Lord. Right? Isn't that awesome? That should be our tagline. Jesus is Lord, brother. Yeah, praise God. Right? It's an amazing tagline. But they knew what it meant. It meant absolute authority. See, it's difficult for us to wrap our brains around it because, I mean, we have like a landlord, like the person that, you know, owns a property potentially, you know, and you pay rent, that kind of stuff. But that's not the Lord of your life. Right? Yes? It has a different meaning because none of us in here has actually been like a slave, right? It's not a common practice. Like when we walked in, if we had a slave people here, like people washing feet, like somebody could have washed my hands, you know, or something. But that doesn't exist anymore. Now, if you're a parent, you think you're a slave, you know. How many of you guys have kids and you're like, "Man, you got to talk to my kids. I think I'm their slave." Right? But no. What it meant back then is that their creed was the Lord was, they had absolute authority over you. And so what we need to be crystal clear on, right, is that the early Christians understood it. It wasn't a fancy way of saying like Mr. or out of respect. It meant that they were totally devoted to Jesus. And so we can do the same thing today, right? Jesus cared about people. He had authority over all these things. But what was awesome about Jesus is that he saw people where they were. He loved them. The people who were cast out, the troublemakers, the tax collectors, the sinners, everybody, right? That's who he liked to hang out with. And I would say that's an indictment on the church because we sometimes start to get very religious. But we don't want to have anything to do with those kind of people, right? Those people. You guys know what I'm talking about? It's very easy for us to do that. Don't do that. Jesus is calling us, right, to be his hands and his feet to reach out to people because he saw people where they were and we need to see people where they were. Let me tell you guys a little bit of what it means, right, when Jesus has absolute authority over your life. And I'll just use myself as an example, right? You guys have heard my mini testimony a few times, where I try to live right by the world and do right, do these things and, you know, achieve all the little milestones of life, only to have them, but leave you empty. resentment and anger and lack of purpose and lack of meaning, despite achieving all the things that the world says would make you whole and give you fulfillment. And so when I finally decided to take the crown off of my own head and I surrendered it to the cross of Jesus is when, man, it was probably, I'll be honest with you, Jesus came to save me from me. It's the greatest gift that Jesus has ever given me. I'll be quite honest with you, the gift of salvation and the forgiveness of my sins. And that's what he comes to offer us. And so then when you invite Jesus in, right, not just to be your Savior, but to be what? Lord of your life. That's different. Because everybody wants to be like cool with Jesus, right? Why wouldn't you want to be cool with Jesus? He lets me into heaven. He takes care of my sin problems. He's like my genie, right? When I need him, Jesus, where are you? But that's a terrible way to look at it, to be quite honest with you. Because when you make Jesus the Lord of your life, let me just say this very simply. You get God. You get God. And when Jesus is Lord over your finances and Lord over your marriage and Lord over your home, man, there's nothing else that's better. I'll be quite honest with you. So number two, the second thing that we're going to take from today's message, and I'm going to have to pick up some ground here, is that Jesus demonstrates that he is a courageous king. He's a courageous king because he comes forward publicly, right? And he knows that there's people that are in Jerusalem that they've already said, right? They've already ran him out a couple times. Remember, they tried to stone him. You guys know? Those people still hang out in Jerusalem. It takes a lot of courage to do what Jesus did. It takes a lot of humility to do what he did. Because of how many of you, who, if you had the power to smite somebody that was trying to kill you, how many of you would actually, like, you're like, you would think about it, right? You would consider it. You're like, Jesus, just let me do this one time. Come on. Only two of you guys are honest in here. The rest of you guys are like, oh no, santo. No, no. I would pray for them, Pastor. I would just pray that they would, God would you. No, you would be like, lightning bolt. Fire. Yes, you would. Jesus doesn't do that. He demonstrates whether he's a courageous king. Because he's coming in and he knows what's going to happen. How many of you know, like, man, my wife has this crazy phobia of snakes, right? Like, terrified. Like, she starts shaking. Like, you can't even see it on TV, right? That's like, but a lot of people have that. If you have to face that fear, right? You're like, nope, I'm not going to do it. For Jesus, I think if you kind of knew what was happening to him, if you knew the pain and the shame and what he would have to endure for the forgiveness of our sins and the humiliation that he was going to endure and the weight of all the sin of the world, right, upon his shoulders, you have to recognize that it took a lot of courage to do what he did. If we knew that in advance, that something like that was going to happen to us, I guarantee you, most of us would not show up. Most of us would not have gone. That's why Jesus is a courageous king. And he didn't come into town in secret. He came in and everybody knew. In fact, the religious authorities, right, started plotting immediately after how they can arrest him. Plotted a scheme to kill him. My son's telling me, it's time to wrap it up, Dad. But here's the deal. As a follower of Christ, Jesus is not calling us to be passive either, right? He's calling us to be courageous. And he's not saying, like, go out and do all kinds of crazy stuff. He's saying, just have enough courage to live your life after Christ, right? Have enough courage to talk to somebody. Have enough courage to minister to somebody. Have enough courage to pray for somebody. Have enough courage to stand in the gap for somebody who has a need for you. Have enough courage to talk to the people that nobody else will talk to. We get the privilege to be invited to build up his kingdom. It's easy to be passive, But it takes commitment to be courageous. Does that make sense? It's easy to go with the flow. People might get mad at you at work. People might this, that, oh, but people, you don't understand. Like, just have courage, guys. Jesus went to the cross for us. Can we just have courage to be obedient to him? As they walked in, and again, I'm going to start to wrap this up. One of the verses that we see there, in verse 10, it says, when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up and asked, who is this? Now the crowds answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. And that's partially right. But they mostly got it wrong. Because they didn't know that that was God in the flesh. Amen. We have the privilege of knowing that. And so number three, it's an important question that every single person needs to answer that's being asked there. In Matthew 21:10. Who do you say that Jesus is in your life? Who do you say that Jesus is in your life? It's the most important question. In John chapter 11:27, Martha said, you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come to the world. Peter in Matthew 16 says, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And in John chapter 4, the Samaritans and Sychar said, we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. And so one of the most important questions that every single person, right, in this room and every person walking on the face of the planet needs to answer, who is Jesus? Who is he? Is he just like another God, a little lowercase g? Or is he an uppercase God, the Alpha and Omega, the Messiah? And everybody has to answer, right? We sang that song. Name of Jesus, every knee will bow and tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. He invites us to make that decision today. And if you don't know him, say, man, you want to know him. Nothing is more important than knowing who Jesus is. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, we come before you in the name of your Son, Jesus. Lord God, thank you for, Lord, your love. I never will be able to fully comprehend the love that you have for us, Lord God, how you came in humility, Lord, that we might be right with the Father, Lord God, by your sacrifice on the cross for sinners like us. Father God, you are so awesome, Lord God. And you are the Messiah. You are the Son of God. You are the Savior of the world, Lord God. And we thank you that not only did you have enough love, Lord, Heavenly Father, that you sent your Son to die on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, but you came to save the world, Lord God, not to condemn it. And we live in a world and a culture where whenever we talk about God, all we're thinking about is condemnation. And we forget that before we can even talk about that, Lord God, that your plan was a plan to save the world, not to condemn the world. So, Father God, if that's what we've been doing, Lord God, if we've been pointing fingers, Lord God, will you continue to work in our hearts, Lord Jesus? You didn't come for that. You came to make a way to give us all hope, Lord God, in a right relationship with the Father. Father God, thank you again for your grace, your mercy, and your goodness. Lord God, this morning, Lord, I know, Lord God, that there's people, Lord God, that need to be encouraged, that need to know who you are, Lord Jesus. And it is my absolute prayer, Lord God, right now that every one of us would take a serious look and answer the question, who are you? Are you Lord? Are you Savior? Are you just the person that we call upon when we have problems? Do we have a serious misunderstanding of who you are, Lord Jesus? Help us, Lord God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, to draw closer to you, Lord, in relationship, to recognize that you are Lord, that you are God, and that you came, Lord, for the forgiveness of our sins. This week, as we prepare, we continue to study, Lord, and what you came to achieve. Last week, before you continue to reveal yourself to us, Lord God, in an amazing and powerful way. So But as we're praying, Lord God, as we're fasting, as we're, Lord, gathering, Lord God, to in our worship nights, and we're reading our devotions, Lord God, and meeting for Bible study, we continue to reveal yourself to us, Lord Jesus, in all your grace and your goodness, Lord God. And help us not to just pass by the things that you endured, Lord, this week. It cost you everything, Lord God. It cost you everything. So, Father God, forgive us for our sins. Forgive us if there's areas of our life where we've been lukewarm. Forgive us if we've rejected you, Lord Jesus. You continue to prompt us to the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord God, to accept you as Lord and Savior, Lord. There's no greater question that we all must answer, Lord God. Who are you? And Father God, just continue to help us to be effective for your kingdom, to build up more people, to build it up, Lord God, the kingdom that we're building. It's not ours. It's not this church, the little church, Lord God. It is your kingdom, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that everything that we do, Lord, give you honor and glory above all else, Lord Jesus. Father God, help us to be right with you first. Help us to repent and turn away from our sinful nature, Lord God. If that's you this morning, you've been feeling the Holy Spirit prompting you, you want to enter a right relationship with God, while everybody's praying, it's very simple. It's a very simple prayer that we're invited to pray. It's a prayer of salvation. And it goes like this. It says, Lord Jesus, I believe that you are who you say that you are. I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you did go to the cross for the forgiveness of my sins. I believe that you were in the tomb and you were resurrected. And you raised 3 days later. And you are seated and ascended at the right hand of the Father. Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, help me to continue to live for you from this day forward. For the rest of us, Lord Jesus, continue to draw us near to you. Continue to help us, Lord God, in our walk with you, and help us, Lord God, as we celebrate all that you came out on the cross. We continue just to seek you out, Lord, every day, Lord. Forgive us, Lord God, for our sins. And I pray right now, Lord God, that you would have an extra anointing, Lord, over the life of our brother Joey, but everybody that's here, Lord Jesus. Lord, we need a touch from you. Forgiveness. We need relationships restored. We need anxieties to be healed, Lord God, depressions to be healed, Lord. We have health issues that we need to need a touch from you, Lord Jesus. Our most important need is the forgiveness of our sin, Lord God. So thank you that you've achieved that for us on the cross, Lord. Help us to continue to receive that by putting our faith in you and continue to draw closer to you, Lord, as we look upon, Lord, this final week of your life. Thank you again for your grace and your mercy, Lord. We love you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Thank you, Jesus.